go to your Bible and turn to the very back, past all the black squiggly bits on the page, which are called words, where there's maps. Turn to the back of that phone, Mel. I don't know, people that bring their phones to the meeting instead of their Bibles. Oh, their tablets. Judgment. Right around the world. Okay, I want you to look for the one that shows the 12 tribes of Israel. Has anyone not got maps in their Bible? Very good, Jo. She's got the maps on a tablet. Okay, 12 tribes of Israel, mine's called. Now, find the Sea of Galilee, and above it and below it, you've got the Jordan River going north-south. And most of the tribes are on the left in the land of Canaan, but there are three on the right who would like to, I'm going to go into school teacher mode here, who would like to tell us what those three are. Right.
East Manasseh,
mm-hmm.
Gad and Reuben.
Exactly. Thank you. And who knows what that region was called? Now you're not allowed to answer this. Phil.
Gilead.
Top of the class. Well done. You get a gold star at the end of the lesson on your workbook. Woo! Okay, Gilead. We're going to read a story about this. Now, I've read through the Old Testament many times and just going through, finished the book of Joshua, and was reading about these three tribes and thought, that comes up over and over again about these three tribes wanting to stay on the east side of Jordan. And I thought, there's got to be some reason for this. There's got to be some type in all of this. So let's have a little look at it tonight. In Numbers 32. Now, I'm going to read a fair bit of this, so I'll just read through it pretty quickly, try and pick up the story as I go. I'll just stop now and then just to explain, kind of encapsulate it. Number one, first one. Now, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. Now, at this point, they haven't actually entered the promised land. They've been coming from Egypt. They've come through the Red Sea. They've spent 40 years in the wilderness. They're about to get into the promised land. And as they come towards Canaan, the promised land, from the east, they're coming across that region on the east side of the Jordan River, the right-hand side there. And they've got cattle. They've got a lot of cattle, these tribes. And they see that, ooh, this is a kind of a hinterland with grass, and this would be a really good place for us to settle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spoke to Moses and to Eleazar the priest and the princes of the congregation, saying, all those places, verse 4, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. They're talking about themselves. We have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. So we want to stay here with our cattle. We don't want to go over the Jordan River into that place which is called Canaan, which is supposedly the promised land. We'd rather stay here on this side. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall you sit here? And wherefore discourage you the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord has given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. When they went up into the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled at the same time, and he swore, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swore unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. So we remember the story of the spies in Numbers 13, where Caleb and Joshua went in and they said, yes, we can grab this land. And all the others said no, and they discouraged the people. Well, Moses' anger is sort of reared up, and he said, you just want to stay here and settle here and not fight your way into the promised land, and you're going to really discourage the people of Israel because you're not going to set a good example. And the Lord's anger, in verse 13, was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord were consumed. And behold, you are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord towards Israel. You're just like your fathers. You know, you just want to slack off. You don't want to fight for the promised land. You just want to just rest here without doing any hard work. For if you turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and you shall destroy all this people. You're going to be responsible for everyone getting destroyed. Verse 16, and they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones, but we ourselves will go, ready armed, before the children of Israel, until we have brought them unto their place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land, so we'll fence them in and make them safe. We will not return unto our houses until all the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance is fallen to us on this side Jordan eastward. So what they're offering is, they're saying, we will go over Jordan, we will fight for the promised land, fight against all the Canaanites and so on. We'll leave our little ones, our wives and children here in the fenced cities, and we'll leave our cattle here, but we will go and fight with all the other tribes, and then we will come back here because our inheritance is on the east side of the Jordan River. Verse 20, so Moses is thinking about this, and he says to them, if you will do this thing, if you will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he has driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterwards you shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Build you cities for your little ones and folds for your sheep, and do that which has proceeded out of your mouth. Do what you say you're going to do. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spoke unto Moses, saying, thy servants will do as my Lord commanded. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, and all our cattle shall be there in the cities of Gilead. But thy servants will pass over, every man armed for war, before the Lord to battle, as my Lord saith. So concerning them, Moses commanded Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the chief fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And Moses said unto them, if the children of Gad and the children of Reuben will pass with you over Jordan, every man armed to battle before the Lord, and the land shall be subdued before you, then you shall give them the land of Gilead for a possession. So if we all go over together, we're all successful, then they can inherit this land, Gilead, it's called, on the east side of the Jordan River. But if they will not pass over with you armed, they shall have possessions among you in the land of Canaan. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben answered, saying, as the Lord has said unto thy servants, so will we do. We will pass over armed before the Lord into the land of Canaan, that the possession of our inheritance on this side of Jordan may be ours. And Moses gave unto them, even to the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, the land, which the cities thereof in the coast, even the cities of the country round about. And so we see that now here the half-tribe of Manasseh has been introduced as well. The other half of Manasseh was over in Canaan later on. So there's this covenant being made here, this arrangement that if they do this one thing and they go over armed and they fight with the other tribes, that they will inherit. So the promised land has to be gained, and then they will get, you know, their special suitable land for themselves, Gilead. And we'll go over to Joshua chapter 1. And I thought, this has got to mean something for us. You know, we're trying to attain the promised land by going through the wilderness that we're in at the moment. And we have to fight, you know. It tells us in the Bible that we've got swords and we've got armour, and we're resisting, we're in a fight of affliction, and we've got to be strong, and that we've got to quit you like men and fight at times, it says. Be strong and so on. And endure hardness as a good soldier and, you know, not get too settled, because like soldiers you have to be able to sort of up and move and fight. And all of these messages that come through the scriptures, this sort of military aspect to being in the Lord. And so, well, what does it mean for us? Because are some people wanting to sort of hold back and inherit something here and say, well, I'll stay on this side, thanks. I won't go into the promised land when Jesus comes back. I'll stay down here on earth or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, no. I know we're all going to meet the Lord, but let's just kind of pursue the meaning of it a little bit. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, thy servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And so Moses died, as was prophesied, that he wouldn't go into the promised land, and Joshua would take them in. And he was a real fighter, Joshua. You know, he lived to 110. And a lot of this time, from about 80 onwards, was all in fighting for about, you know, the last part of his life. Verse 12. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites, so there's this encouragement coming through here as the Lord speaks. And he makes a special mention here of the tribe of Reuben and Gad. He says, and to the Reubenites in verse 12, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spoke Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest and has given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan, but you shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he's given you. Because, you know, you've already got your land, he's given you the place to rest, but your brethren haven't got rest yet. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then shall you return into the city of the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of Jordan towards the sun rising, in other words, the east side. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commanded us we will do, and whithersoever thou send us, we will go. So they're saying the right words. They're being faithful still. Remember that Moses said, whatever's come out of your mouth, make sure you do it. Joshua chapter 4. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on here, lots of battles and crossings of Jordan and setting up testimonials and things like that. So I'm just picking out the bits that relate to these tribes. And in chapter 4, verse 11, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over, this is crossing over the Jordan River, that the ark of the Lord passed over and the priests in the presence of the people. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel as Moses spoke unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. And it just always mentions when they're moving that these three tribes were still there. You know, it's like a footnote in all the stories. Yes, Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they were still there doing what they said they were going to do. Chapter 13, we know that following this is the Battle of Jericho. Gibeon do some craftiness. Five kings are defeated. Lots more kings are overcome. It tells at one point 31 kings defeated. And then up in chapter 13, it actually gives a list in chapter 12 of all the kings that were defeated. And at the end of chapter 12, it says all the kings 31 kings defeated by the armies of Israel, the tribes of Israel rather, coming in. And then it says, beginning of chapter 13, it says, Joshua was old and stricken in years, so he'd done all this fighting, and then he hits 110, and that's it. He's worn out, and he dies. Verse 22, remember Balaam? This is where he cops it. He gets killed. You know, even though he seemed to say the right things at times, now if the Lord said, well, I've got to bless them, and I have to bless them, I can't curse them. And he said the right thing, but he didn't do the right thing. Balaam, also the son of Beor, the soothsayer, did the children of Israel slay with the sword among them that were slain by them. And the border of the children of Reuben was Jordan, and the border thereof. This was the inheritance of the children of Reuben after their families, the cities and the villages thereof. And Moses gave inheritance unto the tribe of Gad, even the children of Gad, according to their families. And their coast was Jazer, and all the cities of Gilead, and half the land of the children of Ammon, unto Aroer, that is before Rabbah, and from Heshbon unto Ramath Mizpeh, and Mitabnim, and from Manahim to the border of Debir, and in the valley, and so on. It goes through all these towns, sort of marking out, like a surveying, you know, manual, where the border was. End of verse 27, it says, even to the edge of the Sea of Chinneroth, which is the Sea of Galilee, on the other side, Jordan eastward. This is the inheritance of the children of Gad after their families, the cities and their villages. So it goes through like a surveyor, you know, this is the border of Reuben, this is the border of Gad, and in verse 29 talks about the half-tribe of Manasseh. Moses gave inheritance unto the half-tribe of Manasseh, and this was the possession of the half-tribe of the children of Manasseh and their families, and their coast was from here to there, and so on in the next few verses. Verse 32, these are the countries which Moses did distribute for inheritance in the plains of Moab on the other side of Jordan by Jericho eastward. So it's all very precise that they did what was, they kept their part of the deal, their part of the covenant. They went in armed, they fought, it took a long time. I mean, goodness knows what age their children were when they got back to Gilead, you know, in these fenced cities. They were probably all adults. And eventually, the battle was won, the promised land was taken, and they were able to retire to their inheritance and have their rest with the cattle on the east side of the Jordan River in Gilead. And the deal was done. And in a way, they set a really good example because they were very eager. They were willing to fight and to stand by their brothers in war and take the promised land, and then they got their reward in the end. You know, it was a transaction. They kept their part of the bargain and they got what was promised them. In Joshua chapter 18, we read about some other tribes that seem a little bit slack in comparison. Verse 1, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there. And the land was subdued before them. So they didn't have Jerusalem at this time, and the tabernacle was kept at this place, Shiloh. And there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. So they're the ones that were to get some land in Canaan. And Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long are you slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? So he's actually calling them slack because even though they fought the battle, they hadn't taken up the land that they were supposed to have. In verse 7, the Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance, and Gad and Reuben and the half-tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond Jordan on the east, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. So he's ticking off. Levite, they don't get land. Reuben got theirs. Gad got theirs. Half-tribe Manasseh got theirs. So why are you guys being so slack? Joshua chapter 21 and verse 43. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. So eventually those seven tribes did take up their inheritance and possess the land, and that map that we looked at the beginning, they all were assigned their different regions, and a lot of the book of Joshua is actually very precise in exactly where all the borders were of each tribe leading up to this chapter. And in verse 44, and the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he sware unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before him, but the Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. And just the first two verses of the next chapter, chapter 22. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, you have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God has given rest unto your brethren as he promised them. Therefore now return you and get unto your tents and to the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of Jordan. So what does all that tell you? Well, to me, it tells us that we're all in it together, and we're all got to fight together to get into heaven, to the promised land. When Jesus comes back, we can't sort of say others are going to do the fighting, and I've found a pretty good place where I can rest, and I think I'll just stay here and cruise. You know, and be still. We can't really be still in the Lord. We're always on the move. Sojourners in a strange land, tramping through the wilderness, one foot in front of the other, walk of faith, etc. And, you know, if we've got things pretty good, perhaps in this life, we still have to fight for it, just like others. Others are really doing it tough, you know, with terrible, terrible trials, maybe an illness that's been going on for 16 years, maybe, you know, financial catastrophe, maybe family issues, maybe everyone in their family's fallen away from the Lord or whatever. Sorry. That's for added effect. But, you know, they might be doing it tough, but often they show the most faithfulness because no matter what gets thrown at them, they're going on, and that we're all fighting through it together, not saying, oh, well, I'm okay, and I'm just going to sit back here, and one day the Lord's going to come back and I'll be in the promised land. So also it shows that God is faithful and he's going to deliver. In verse 45 of chapter 21, there failed not aught, not one thing of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. And just like all the promises in this book, you know, we can trust that every single thing God has promised to do for us, he will do. And so he's asking us, like with the tribe of Reuben and Gad and half-tribe of Manasseh, to, if we've made this promise to the Lord that we're going to keep going with him till the end, that we do that. And then we will get our inheritance just as those tribes did. And we've got to keep the deal. Just go to Psalm 144. Psalm of David. Surprise, surprise. Verse 1, blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. And that's not just David talking about himself. God gave him the strength, he knew that. God taught him his hands how to win those battles, he became famous for it. You know, David has slain his tens of thousands, Philistines, great campaigns and so on. The Lord taught him that. And taught his fingers to fight. And the Lord's taught us, you know, how to use the sword, how to put on the armour, how to hand it all over, as Andy was saying in his testimony. You know, don't keep that 20% aside, just give it all over to the Lord. And you know, fighting doesn't just mean slicing people up with a word, it means being faithful and being patient as well, and waiting up for that 10 years for something sometimes. So, but that's still fighting, the good fight of faith. And the Lord's taught us that. We'll finish up in 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And he's describes himself there, and then he says, to those that have also obtained the faith, you know, my brothers and sisters, my fellow campaigners who've also received this precious faith. Grace and peace be multitude unto multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. And just think of that promise of the promised land. He's called us all to that. You know, heaven, we could call it heaven, whatever that's going to be like. He's given us all of those things, just like he gave all those 12 tribes an inheritance, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. There's that patience we're talking about. And to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, or the love of God. Been talking a lot about that in the last couple of weeks. You know, that love that's only from God and comes to us by the Holy Spirit, and we are able to shed it abroad to others. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just wanted to bring out the point here, all wonderful verses, but it says in verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And virtue in this context means moral strength. It actually means excellence. Whether this is from Strong's, whether intrinsic or attributed to you. So excellence, whether it comes from within you, just because it's intrinsic to you, if it comes from within, or it's attributed to you. In other words, you do something wonderful and everyone says you're excellent. Either way, have this virtue. It also can mean manliness. Now, that can apply to when we think about all those verses that talk about us being soldiers, be strong, quit you like men, etc. He's talking to the women as well. It's talking about, you know, endure hardness as a good soldier. It's talking to the women as well. So manliness here, it can mean like a soldier. It can mean valour. And whether it's bravery and action. Praiseworthiness and, again, excellence. So I just think of the example here, just in summing up, that the tribes of Reuben and Gad and East Manasseh did these things. They were diligent. They had faith that they would win the campaign and get back to their inheritance on the near side, because they were coming in from that side. It's the land they got to first before they went over Jordan. They would get back there. So they had... they had that moral strength to go in, to keep their word, to fight that excellence, and it was, you know, given, they were given credit for it in the end. You've kept your part of the bargain. Go and have your rest now. So we're all in it together. We're all fighting together. We're going to take the promised land together. There's no doubt about it that it is our inheritance, and the Lord has already given it to us. And all the people said, amen. All right, leave it there.